Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. Open phone lines for you, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. We're here from Ryan Hollins on the NBA coming your way at 920 right here on ESPN 1000. We talk NBA with him. And, of course, oh, my, it is Throwback Thursday, and we got a good one for you. Throwback Thursday coming up at the bottom of the hour right here on ESPN 1000 at 935. So is Lauri Markkanen broken? I read this in a number of different columns about whether or not he is completely broken. Joe Cowley in the Sun-Times wrote a piece the other day about time for Bulls to admit that they may have broken Lauri Markkanen. Everyone wants an explanation of what's wrong with Markkanen, who was expected to carry the rebuild forward. The fingerprints are all over the analytics department that took human nature out of his development. Three is more than two, right? You and I both know that. And that's what how the column starts, talking about how that's the hill NBA analytics disciples are dying on. And Joe writes about how the analytics, no matter how you twist the numbers, that the analytics or the usual numbers we see in the NBA are tilted toward a struggle for Lauri Markkanen as a Chicago Bull. It says that Markkanen likes the mid-range game. He used it throughout the first two seasons. It gets him comfortable. Last year, Markkanen was 35 for 104. That's 33% from mid-range and 41% from the paint, but outside the restricted area. So think about that. Last year, Markkanen gave the Bulls 33% from mid-range and 41% from the paint, but outside the restricted area. Those aren't great numbers, especially considering that he shot 36% from three. After all, three is more than two. But having that option and feeling like there is a middle ground to beat a defense can't necessarily be depicted in a chart or a graph. He goes on to say that from the mid-range this season, Markkanen is shooting 26%. In the paint outside the restricted area, he's at 31%. From three, he's shooting 34%. Now, that's a lot of numbers I'm giving you, but it just illustrates the fact that something's going on with Markkanen where he is not necessarily giving the numbers and really being a strong complement to Zach LaVine as a number two punch on this Bulls team. Cowley says, so yes, Markkanen is shooting threes at a much higher volume, but he has become much worse as a scorer, averaging 14.9 points a game. For someone that can get to the rim and for someone who shoots the basketball, Markkanen should be a lot better. It goes back to the David Haw piece that he wrote last week regarding Zach LaVine and saying that Zach LaVine has turned into this new era Reggie Theus. And for those that don't remember, Reggie was the guy before Michael. Before Michael Jordan got here, it was Reggie Theus with his big mustache and his great, you know, soul glow fro. And he would woo all the single women and the married women because he was that sex symbol for the Bulls at the old Chicago Stadium. And he's this California guy coming to Chicago, and he was like that guy. He was that guy that could score, but also that guy that couldn't help the Bulls win because they didn't have enough. And so Zach has turned into that person as well. And one thing I do want to make sure I point out in my analysis of Zach LaVine is that I'm not going to make him some whipping boy. This is the team that the Bulls have assembled. They looked at Zach LaVine as someone that could be a number one and a guy that can be able to build this basketball team around. And it's like, I saw Zach LaVine in Sacramento. And I saw him and I thought, yeah, he could score, but he can't be the reason why your team wins and loses. But you've seen the ball in his hands in big, crucial spots, and you've seen him miss some shots. You saw him go nuts against Charlotte. You've seen some good from him as well. So he's kind of growing into the position. But what about the others when it comes to the Bulls? What about everybody else? Like marketing's development, Markkanen's development, as well as LaVine's development and Hutchinson and Kobe White, that development is important as well. So it can't just be about, is Zach LaVine an all-star? Yes, maybe no. Is LaVine an all-star? Yes, maybe no. Call me now. Like, what's more important? That guy getting to the all-star game here at the United Center, or for the Bulls to improve as a basketball team, for the development to be better? We'll read some of our thoughts from Twitter. At ESPN 1000, at Tweet Jay Hood about what you said, because we put the poll question out there in our 7 o'clock hour. talking about what is going on with the Bulls. What's more important to you as a Bulls fan? And that is the development or getting to the playoffs. Now, getting to the playoffs was not as important when the Bulls got rid of Jimmy Butler. But now it's something that's on their radar. And it's kind of like, yeah, really? Is it really? So let's analyze and kind of talk about Cowley's piece from the Sun-Times, which makes a lot of sense because he breaks down the numbers and talks about how the Bulls may have broken Lauri Markkanen. I hope that's not the case because the Bulls are really in need of a second scorer. That guy's not Coby White yet, and the reason why it's not is because Coby comes off the bench. And we talk about square pegs and round holes, right? When it comes to Wendell Carter, I'm still pissed that Wendell Carter is not a guy that is not doing what he does best. He can shoot from the outside for a big. He can also rebound. But he's not just some guy like 1995 basketball where you just put him in the pivot for him to get easy buckets and for him to have a double-double that way. He's not Charles Oakley. What he is a guy that is a dual threat. If you allow him to be able to shoot the basketball when he's healthy, now you got something special here. Now you got a guy that's developing. Coby White. Coby White is not a traditional point guard. Point guard actually is an arcane phrase lately, right? It's really about lead guards or positionless basketball. Coby White is Coby with a K because Coby is unafraid to shoot the basketball. Oh, you pass me the ball on the wing? Boom, I'm gonna shoot the basket. And like, they want him to be this lead guard. Remember the reasons why is that he's not starting is because he's not a guy that's going to facilitate and make others better, like maybe Satoransky sometimes. But that's not who he is. He's a guy that's like, yeah, throw me the ball, and I'm going to shoot it. He's Coby with a K, not Coby with a C. And so I think from the Bulls' standpoint, they look at Coby, and they're like, how come he's not, you know, getting the ball in the post, you know, trying to get the high percentage two? It's like, nah, he wants to shoot threes like everybody else because it's a higher percentage shot for a lot of guys. So let's go back in time and hear from the BS podcast. This is with Ryan Russillo and Bill Simmons. Is House on there too? House is
a little
there.
Little Joe House in a there. House. Yeah, mm-hmm. A little hungry House in there.
The loud House is in there. Here's what I think, Bill. I'm like, okay. So they break down Zach LaVine. Listen,
you go through it. You look through the 12 names. And in that 12th one. And here's why I would say Trey.
The important thing is none of us said Zach LaVine.
Right. But see, but this is the point, is that Trey Young, it's still very early in this for him. So we can all hold out hope that there's a reckoning of like, hey, you get some better talent around you. You're going to have to learn how to play with, like, your job as a point guard isn't just to take all these shots, too. Like, other guys going to be a little engaged here. And his passing is so special. Trey's passing is better than LaVine's. That, like, it still could happen where LaVine's like year six looking around being like, why does no one like playing with me? That's why.
I had I looked up on NBA clutch stats. And
what is that? What's a clutch stat?
Clutch stats like
within 5 points.
4 minutes okay. Or left. It's got to be whatever.
Yes.
Usage rate. Zach LaVine had the highest clutch usage rate by far.
What's it at?
But the worst net rating of anyone in the whole thing. It's like, it was just classic. I was like, of course.
No, Zach LaVine is a social media NBA player because he gets into this thing with Boylan, what, 2 months ago?
Yep.
Or a month plus? And hey, guess what? Zach LaVine made some defensive rotation. Do you think Jim Boylan wants to make up lies and start a fight with Zach LaVine? Now, maybe he shouldn't say it to the reporters and Boylan gets frustrated. He's obviously an emotional guy. And then LaVine comes out and hits like a million threes. And then everybody's team LaVine.
Right.
And you go, Zach LaVine is perimeter DeMarcus Cousins. If you just look at the numbers, and Zach LaVine's shooting it well this year, and you go, man, he's really good if he could ever get on a good team. And when you watch Chicago, you go, okay, Markkanen's worse. Wendell Carter, who I like, is invisible at times. Coby White doesn't even pass to anybody, even though he's a point guard. And like he was less than 2 assists per game 1 month because I was doing game logs for Coby White. And I just look at this whole team and go, like LaVine, there are more NBA fans going, this guy's pretty nasty. And he's athletically, like he makes Westbrook look slow. That's how special LaVine's movements are. Okay. It's
but you wouldn't want to play with him.
But if you go, I think LaVine's awesome and it's the Bulls' fault, then you're no different than all the people that argued that DeMarcus Cousins was always awesome and that it was Sacramento's fault.
Hey. I just watched the games. Don't take it from me. Listen to Ryan Russillo, who also is plugged into the NBA, and Bill Simmons. That was strong. Strong.
That's the first time I've heard that Boogie like type in comparison, and everyone for the longest time was saying that Sacramento was the problem. That's bared out to not be true at all.
That is harsh and truthful at the same time when you say he's perimeter DeMarcus Cousins, because Boogie had all kind of numbers, shoots from three, inside. He had some great numbers and great moments with Sacramento, but more times than not, it was on the other side. There were losses. So you have one special player doing a lot of things, but are you making that others better? That's the whole thing. Like, hey, no one's going to take a crap on Zach LaVine for the numbers that he's put up. But then you look on the other side, like, is LaVine making others better? And then the breakdown of Coby White with a K, right? Kobe's not going to as someone that's off the bench, he's like, oh, and I'm off the bench now. Now I can start scoring the ball because it's like I'm not starting. So here I go. So someone's got to score, so I'm going to be the guy. You talk about Wendell Carter Jr. like disappearing. Yeah. Yeah, because they got him down low like he's like some – you know, big from 1995, just there to rebound. He's got like Tom Boerwinkle like numbers rebounding the ball. That's not what he's here for, to rebound the ball. Yeah, like you don't need him down there for toughness. That's why you got Thaddeus Young. That's why he's on the team. He's not there for scoring. He's supposed to be there for toughness and try to show the kids. It's something, man. That is as honest an opinion as you will find. But yet, Jim Boylan. You know, talking about Lauri Markkanen.
He's making good plays. I thought he had some great looks he made, and I thought he had some great looks that he could have made, you know, where he was in the right spot, let it fly. And but I liked his juice he had. It was good.
What flavor juice did Markkanen have there? I don't understand.
I'm going to say it's something Finnish, so like some vodka-type feeling, nice and cold drink. I'm not sure, but it was good. It was good.
He's saying things on these press conferences that I haven't heard anywhere around the league. I don't know what he's talking about.
But I liked his juice he had. It was good.
What?
But I liked his juice he had. It was good.
What?
But I liked his juice he had. It was good.
Yeah, even Stacy doesn't understand what kind of juice Lauri has. I don't know what he's talking about.
Okay.
We will move on. Because I don't know what Jim's talking about.
It really is so hard to explain him night in and night out. He's so out there. Imagine him in a locker room day to day.
Is Markkanen broken? No, but you have a second half to start to give him the ball where he needs it. Pick and roll, go into the basket, and stop trying to limit his minutes. Give him the opportunity to be the player that he can be. That's all. If you have a Markkanen on your roster with no confidence, that's bad for your basketball team. It just is, because LaVine needs someone else to feed off of. Who's that second scorer? Who's the third scorer you can depend on? Chris Dunn? Is that Thomas Satoransky? Look at the roster. So weird. Such a weird roster and such a weird team. That's all. And that 2 minutes of breakdown of the BS report, it tells you all you need, man. It's all you need. All these players, and you're like, yeah, I'm Team LaVine. You can be Team LaVine. Listen, you can root for him. You can watch all the House of Highlights and all the stuff on Instagram and all the things that he does. But what does it come down to? It comes down to victories. Speaking of victories, Ryan Hollins, NBA analyst, is going to join us next. Here's a guy here that's on Team Atlanta, loves Trae Young, loves the Atlanta Hawks, Team Atlanta. And he keeps sending me up on Twitter.com, TweetJHood, sending me like all these memes and these House of Highlight videos of Trae Young and all his exploits. And I go, yeah, 39 points. And by the way, there's another stat that he had. And Ryan's like, which one? I go, the L at the end of the night, usually for Atlanta.
This is Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.
Hi, everybody.
On ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. This is Under the Hood on ESPN 1000. Follow at @TweetJHood on Twitter.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. So glad that you're with us. We are joined now by friend of the program, NBA analyst Ryan Hollins, and he joins me right here on ESPN 1000. What's going on, Ryan?
What's up, brother? How you been, man?
Oh, I'm okay. As long as I'm not watching the Bulls, I feel great. it's tough. I need your help. I'm calling because I need your help because me, as well as many other Bulls fans, are watching this team, and they're just trying to figure out when the light will shine at the end of the tunnel. So when I say Chicago Bulls, you think what?
Youth, energy, Zach LaVine, Lauri Markkanen, best to come.
And that's about it. Well, let me ask you this. Do you feel that Zach LaVine is a star?
I do. But I think he's a star in the sense that he has a lot to grow. He has a lot to learn. He's definitely not a finished product. We know he can score with the best of them. And every star, I believe, they hit that point where, like, it's like, well, I know how to score the basketball. And then you go, well, do I know how to win? No, that's something I had to figure out. That's why we look at guys like Luka Doncic and we know how far ahead he is. But you have to get it across that just initial, oh, I can beat my man on any given night. And Zach LaVine is still learning that. I mean, it isn't what since last year that he's really taken off. So I think there's still so much for him to learn and for Zach to really become a team player rather than just a me player.
That it does take a lot because I think Zach can give you 35 points tonight if you asked him to, but it doesn't necessarily equate to winning. So I'm wondering what the next gear is because Lauri Markkanen just seems like a guy, Ryan, that is kind of lost a little bit. Like he can definitely score, but it just seems as though that he's been sitting out on the bench when he needs to be in the rotation, needs to ask for the ball more often. But when you have a ball dominant guard like, you know, like Zach LaVine, who's trying to help win, it's hard for a big to say, hey, I want the ball. But I think that needs to happen for this team to be more balanced.
Well, I mean, you have to understand, too, expectations have to change or have changed or need to change again. Because originally it was just like, wow, Lauri Markkanen is a good basketball player. And that was really the phenomenon going on in Chicago. And now it's, well, you have LaVine, what he did back last year, you have Markkanen, you bring in Otto Porter, and these guys should be really good, but it's not panning out as such. So you have to temper expectations a bit. You've got the attention of the entire league. So now, they've got to put it together. But it's by all means, it's not an overnight success story. That's not how things work in the NBA. And even though you're in the Eastern Conference, I mean, it's tough to win in the NBA, man.
Ryan Hollins with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000. Milwaukee has just been a terrific story in the Eastern Conference and all over the NBA. Giannis has taken another step. The team is really loose and playing well. When outside of the Bucks, do you feel that there's a number of teams in the East that need to make a deal or two to get better? Because it just seems like Milwaukee seems to be out of reach. What about the others, like 2 through 5?
Let's be realistic. If the ultimate goal is a championship, the only team that doesn't need to make a move right now that can actually stay put, we could say, is the Clippers. Even the Lakers are even looking and saying that they want to get another creator. If you're Indiana, you're really hoping that Oladipo is healthy, and then you feel like you can feel like you can compete with the best. But ultimately, you always look at the top dog in the Eastern Conference, and you try to match up with him. Who is that? Giannis Antetokounmpo. So as you look at Giannis Antetokounmpo, you're looking for a couple of guys who can go out and match up with him on a night-to-night basis, and that's how you construct your roster. That's what excites you about the Heat, even with Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo playing at an all-star level and guys like that. But ultimately, you got to match up with Giannis because, you know, he's going to be a freight train coming down the middle, and he's even done his share of load managing, Hood, and I know how you feel about that, kind of geared up for the playoffs.
My thought on load management is, like, you can play, like, 15 minutes and get your load management resting the rest of the time. You ain't got to take the whole day off. But that's just me, though. Hey, what do I know? You know what? I did not tweet you. I did not text you on this. So I would ask you now about the comments by Dallas coach Rick Carlisle about bigs in the paint, in particular Kristaps Porzingis. So you saw the comments toward the end of December, early January, about how he just doesn't think that the post-up play for a big is a high percentage shot or a good play. What would you say to that? Because for you, you made your bread and butter, like making the crowd go crazy with your dunks and high percentage shots at the rim. What would you say to Carlisle in that regard?
I play for Rick, and I know what he's doing. He wants to take the attention off of Luka, off of Kristaps, and he wants people to really target him for what's going on over there. He likes to take that bad guy role, and you saw since he kind of, you know, brushed shoulders with LeBron, mixed it up. And I was just laughing because I had a situation, you know, that kind of, I don't know if it didn't get caught on cameras or we didn't make a deal out of it. Me and Rick were throwing elbows at each other on the sideline. I know his type of personality. And he just wants to draw that attention. And I believe when he said he doesn't want to post up, he's not going to give you the traditional post up where you come down the floor and you just give the ball to your center or your power forward and you allow him to go and make a play. That's not a high percentage shot anymore in the NBA. That is the truth. Rick wasn't lying when he said that. But ultimately, the post up is a good play when you have teams that find out they cannot guard Luka Doncic and Porzingis and Powell in the pick and roll, and then they switch. Now he's going to drop it down into the post. But I don't think ultimately he's saying, man, you could have a big guy, a small guy on you, whatever. We're not throwing it in the post. I don't think that was the message. Rick was just ruffling feathers.
Okay. So, Ryan, who has more of a sustainable run out of this between the Clippers and Lakers? I think it's still very interesting to watch these two go about their business every night on the package. But who do you think is going to be able to be the better team in L.A.?
I believe the Clippers. They're really a drama-free team. I don't think there's much that they're trying to figure out. Like, you know, going down the stretch for the Lakers right now, you're like, well, can AD create his own shots? Is LeBron going to be good enough? You really know who the Clippers are going to be. You know Paul George can, you know, put up a bundle of points in the fourth quarter. You know who Kawhi Leonard is. Everybody knows his name, especially you, Jonathan. And there's a number of guys on that Clippers squad, even Lou Williams. They're just a fine run machine right now for the time being. And you can't say the same about the Lakers. There's a lot of questions. Yes, LeBron, we know who you are, but who are you on this Lakers squad?
By the way, I was going to ask you, are you good with the calligraphy in the middle of the floor when the Clippers play at Staples? And are they bringing lowriders in? I don't know if it's a good idea to have what you'd see on the side of a, you know, a side of a building on Crenshaw as your logo, but Clippers have. Why the Clippers go ghetto like that, man? Why?
I mean, you could say. listen, man. Technically, if you want to go by the numbers, LA is probably 60% Latino.
Yes,
they're definitely making a strong marketing push. So. I don't mind it. It wasn't my cup of tea, but I get it, man. They gotta make their money, man.
I just think that was hilarious to see that. I'm like, oh yeah, you know what? That's good. I mean, listen, it caught my eye. I want to get t-shirts with that on there. and I'm sure they're airbrushed. So I want to get that for sure. So Ryan, which team do you enjoy watching the most in the league when you get the package on and when you're traveling? Is it the highlights you want to catch, game you want to catch? Is there a team in particular?
Man, we talked about it earlier. I would say Luka Doncic right now, mm-hmm. just because he makes the right read in the pick and roll every time, and there's just so many different ways they can beat you, and you can see that big in a drop a lot of times or a show, and he almost feels helpless going, my God, I gotta guard the three ball, I gotta guard Luka's floater, I gotta guard his step back, I gotta guard Powell diving to the rim. I would say Dallas is really fun to watch right now. I gotta give Carlisle and Luka that credit.
Lastly, that young team that you enjoy watching the most, the young team, and you better not say Atlanta. I don't want to hear.
You know, you know it's Atlanta, but since you're going to ban me saying Atlanta, I've talked about Atlanta enough on the Jonathan Hood show. I'm going to say Memphis. Ja Morant's the real deal.
Yeah.
Ja Morant's that. He's that good. And he continues to surprise. And Jonathan, me and you had talked about this previously. You knew his game would translate. Why? He's bouncy as heck. He can shoot the three off the bounce. He knows how to run a pick and roll. But I would believe, ultimately, we didn't know that he would have this swagger stepping into the NBA this early. We saw the other night, he told James Harden, you know, you somebody better tell that guy about me. And I'm putting it nicely the way he said it. But Ja Morant, he's really flourishing in the NBA right now, and that's something that I didn't see, and it's a joy to watch. And, you know, we could be having that debate, you know, or a couple of years from now, you know, and bless up my good friend Greg Oden, where you go, man, you passed on Kevin Durant for Greg Oden. Man, you passed on Ja Morant for Zion Williamson. You know, it doesn't quite seem like that, but you know, you fast forward 5 to 10 years, and that could really be the conversation.
Where is the Ryan Hollins party at for All-Star Weekend? What club is it?
Oh, man, there's no All-Star Weekend parties for Ryan Hollins right now. I do not have any All-Star invites. I think I'll be joining you, Jonathan. We'll probably be doing some radio. I wouldn't be surprised. But right now, there's nothing cooking, man. Nothing in the oven, man.
Wait a minute. No, this can't be. If this is All-Star Weekend in the Shy, there has to be a Hollins party somewhere.
No,
come on.
No, there's nothing, man. I'm the forgotten soul, man.
Wow.
I've got to lose bets to get on your show now, man. They treat me like the stepchild, man.
Well, that's crazy. Well, let me see if I can get you into the Candace Parker party. I'm already there.
So
if you want that, you know, Hollins, Ryan, we'll see if we can get you into the Candace Parker party. I'm there for that, but I can't help you. I mean, man, I thought I could ride your coattails, just kind of, you know, walk up behind you as your security. That'd be awesome.
Ryan Hollins will not be present All-Star Weekend. I'm sure you'll be okay with that, but I will not be present.
I don't believe that, but nonetheless, I'm glad that you stopped in. And you know, the season's been great so far. Looking forward to more as we get closer to the All-Star break.
All right, brother.
Thank you.
This is Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Maybach music.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.
Before Snapchat.
What is that?
Before Twitter.
So what's the sitch?
There was.
You yeah.
That's so throwback.
That was really good times.
That's so throwback.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Throwback Thursday memories.
I see a little silhouette of a man.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.
Put your hands up.
The throwback.
All you need is love.
The throwback.
It is time for Throwback Thursday, because it's Thursday right here on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. Jonathan Hood with you. Oh, one of our favorite segments, Throwback Thursday, because it takes you back to a happier time. Not saying that your time's not happy now, but you do recall, and this is what Facebook's all about, Facebook.com, Jonathan Hood. It is about memories. Nothing resonates more on Facebook than Throwback Thursday, at least not on my page. I could say, have Tim Anderson on. I could say that I'm going to be on this show and that show and doing this show. One like, two likes, maybe three likes and a heart from an ex. But nothing like Throwback Thursday. You guys, I put up the question earlier today for Throwback Thursday.
Let's go back.
As you know, Eric, it works every time. Question of the day, and we'll take your phone calls as well. Hurry, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. The question of the day for Throwback Thursday.
The throwback.
Who is the athlete you wanted to be like or imitated as a kid? This was a hit on Facebook. Good God almighty. Who is the athlete that you wanted to be like or imitated as a kid? Well, my first choice, and I have a lot of course, someone who likes to imitate. Of course, I had a lot of choices, but because baseball is my first love, I watched Rod Carew when he's with the then California Angels. Rod Carew would be at the plate, and you don't know if he was awake or not. He'd be up there, and he's, like, laying his chin on his wrists, and he's kind of up there barely holding the bat as if a millennial were giving you a thumbs up, but it's not even the full thumb. It just gives you just, like, a three-quarter thumb, like, what's up, like that. That's how Rod Carew was as a hitter. He would just kind of just lay up there, and all of a sudden the pitch would come, and he would just knock the hell out of the ball. I like that. I like the lazy, I'm sleeping at the plate until you throw the fastball, and then...
There's a drive to left field, base hit. There's number 3,000 for Carew. So Carew has joined the illustrious 3,000 hit club.
3,000 for Rod Carew, and his teammates are coming out on the field to congratulate him.
Not a ton of power from Rod Carew, Eric, but it was always just the single doubles, always consistent, single double, move the line. That was him. That was Rod Carew.
He had one of those iconic batting stances. It wasn't like your typical bat. Like, it was one that people would impersonate. And like, once you saw it, you're like, oh, that's Rod Carew. That's just, definitely one of them.
Just chilling up there at the plate until he had this, all the pitches coming. Let me wake up here. Base hit. That's how he was.
And slap to the right side.
That's what
Moving
he was.
Home.
You know, that's who he was.
The throwback.
Michael Jacobs says that the one player that he wanted to be, and again, 312-332 ESPN, you want to jump in. The one player in sports that you want to be like or imitated as a kid. And our guy, Michael, says Ernie Banks.
Garvin fires away. That's a fly ball. Beat the left. Back.
That's it. That's it. Hey, he did it. Ernie Banks got number 500. A line drive shot into the seats and left. The ball tossed to the bullpen. Everybody on your feet. This is it. Whee!
I missed the cheering in the press box. You just don't get that anymore.
God. That wee is awesome.
That's what I like about the old school, when you could just clap in the press box. Ernie Banks, there he is, everybody. Number 500. Wee woo boy. Look at him. The typewriter background. The typewriter going. Just the old school, man, where you weren't ashamed. Like, it's okay. You're the broadcaster for the Cubs, and your guy does something well. Clap for those. I want Len Kasper to do that for the Cubs. I want that. Oh boy, look at him go, JD. Another hit for Baez. Out of here, a home run. Just start, JD
just
clapping.
Moving it out.
Yeah.
Maybe some noisemakers.
Why
you never
not?
Know. Uh-huh.
Why
some
not?
Poppers.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, let's have fun.
60s and 70s, man. Just whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to do. Eric Ostrowski, which one was the player that you imitated the most?
So growing up in the 90s, there was no one batting stance or football player, shooter that I imitated or wanted to be like more than Ken Griffey. I was a right-handed hitter, but I tried to do that little lefty bat swing with his hip, and then he comes out in the home run derby with his hat backwards, and like as a kid, we all thought he was the coolest player in all of sports at the time.
He's back with a 3-1. Griffey swings. There it goes. Long fly ball right field. It is a number 600 for Ken Griffey Jr. A no-doubter about halfway up in the lower deck and right. Ken Griffey Jr. circling the bases as they stand here at Dolphin Stadium. That's what they came to see here tonight, and from the moment it left the bat, absolutely no question where it was going to end up.
Ken Griffey Jr. was one of my all-time favorite players. As a Sox fan, could not wait to see the Mariners on national TV so you could see Ken Griffey Jr. Wasn't wide open now where you just turn on a game whenever you want to and watch the Mariners. You had to wait for the game of the week, and to see him and see him in highlights, he was so graceful. The reason why I love Ken Griffey Jr. is because he made everything look so easy.
He glided. And, like, not only did he hit for all that power, but he was tremendous in the outfield. Like, he covered ground and took back so many home runs. He was awesome.
Let's see what we have here. Ken says Tom Waddle. William Watts says Brian Downing and Tom Pachorik. You love that batting stance, the open batting stance of Tom Pachorik. I totally understand that. Michael Wright. What is that name? Yes, the old Bears reporter covering the NBA now. Michael Wright, yeah. Michael Corleone Wright. Randall Cunningham, when he was a kid, when he was in high school, my towel even said Baby Cunningham on it. That's from Michael Wright. Eric says Hulk Hogan, brother, said that was his guy. David Cummings says Terry Cummings from his Blue Demons days. We also have the same sounding name. Indeed, Terry Cummings was a hell of a player. John Griffin says Ron Santo. Emery Moorhead. 85 Bear tight end. Eric M. Moorhead says, Gale Sayers, unless I was on defense, then it was Dick Butkus, and then it was Deacon Jones. So that's kind of cool. The Eric M. Moorhead checks in on Facebook, facebook.com, Jonathan Hood. Reggie Hammond says, Walter Payton.
There's a 28-yard run by Mr. Explosion himself on the very first play of the ball game. Walter Payton, in a class by himself, the premier running back in all of pro football.
So, yeah, of course, if you grew up at a certain time, you saw Walter Payton in his prime. He was such a unique running back. The stutter step, the things that he would do on the field. The reason why he's still beloved today is because he was so unique as a running back.
I used to like doing his high step as he's going down the sideline with both legs straight, just high stepping. I liked that one, too.
There's a trick to Walter Payton, too. Walter Payton would it'd be second down and 10, and he'd get like 7 yards. But every time, if you just watch an old Bears game, he'd get 3 yards, and then he'd take the ball and stretch it out behind him for an extra 2 yards. It was always marked wrong. It was a trick.
Isn't it amazing, like, watching that refs spot footballs now, and you realize how bad they are at that?
So any time that he would go down from a tackle, he'd stretch the ball out 2 yards further to confuse the official, so you get a yard and a half more.
At least get a yard out of it, yeah. absolutely.
Not technology then, no technology now. Still weird on how they spot the football.
Yep.
Again, this is why you millennials have to straighten this out. It has to be computerized.
Yeah, just put a chip in the ball.
Write this down, mm-hmm. Tyler. This is up to you.
Not that hard.
Right.
It's not hard.
Right. It's like,
the one thing I will say, technology likes to malfunction.
True, but...
Can you imagine the holdup of, like, if the robots can't figure it out, if the robots' chips aren't working?
But your generation can figure that out. You'll get the bugs out. Think about this. In my generation and your generation, too, we are still seeing two old dudes come out with a chain to try to measure
that's
a
insane,
first down.
Right? Really, that whole...
A glorified tape measure.
It's crazy.
I mean, how is that still a thing in 2020?
If it's close, they got to lay on the ground to see if there's space or not. Like
an index card every once in a while is used.
How is that still a thing?
Crazy.
To find out what's a... I mean, come on! Man, in 2020, you still got two old guys. Here comes a chain gang. You don't need a chain. What do you need a chain gang for?
My phone knows my exact location right now. Like, come on.
It's more information on your phone than in your home.
Yes, absolutely.
It's amazing. A throwback Thursday.
Throwback.
Someone says Allen Iverson.
7 unanswered for the 76ers. Iverson, bothered by Lou.
How about that?
And steps over to Ron Lou.
Save his team a 2-point lead. And then he steps back in the corner. To Ron Lou all over it. Steps back. The pullback jumper buries it. And watch him step right over the top of to Ron Lou.
Oh, courtesy of NBC, Marv Albert and Doug Collins on the call. How about that?
I never had nearly enough swag to even try to be Allen Iverson.
Yes.
No way it was happening.
That's from Shaquille Barnes. He says he loved AI. We'll have more for our Throwback Thursday. There's a lot of submissions. So the question we have for you is, what's the one athlete that you want to be like or imitated as a kid? 312-332 ESPN is our phone number.
This is Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. It's Under the Hood. Follow us on the gram at IGJ Hood and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
The Throwback.
Throwback Thursday with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. We got so many submissions on my Facebook wall, facebook.com, asking the question to you on a Throwback Thursday. Who's the athlete that you want to be like or imitated as a kid? Tom says Greg Maddux. Rob Spatz says Joe Morgan. Also, Rob says Joe Morgan. Oh, Michael Green says Bobby Orr, without a doubt.
Bobby Orr, behind the net to Sanderson, to Orr! Bobby Orr! Scores in the Boston Bruins! Have won the Stanley Cup! Orr! Putting it in, first goal! And what does the long team win the Bruins? As Bobby Orr, their 22-year-old sensation,
Deborah Deborah Whitcomb says, I want it says Joe Pepitone. I had a massive crush on him. That's not the question. I think that's next week's question.
Exactly. Which athlete did you have a crush on?
Yeah, it's like, who's the athlete that you wanted to be like or imitated as a kid? She says, Joe Pepitone. Hey, Joe Pepitone. And but not because you wanted to play like him or because you wanted to lay vertically with him, if you're part of the expression.
I'm going to say probably the latter. I'm not sure, but I'm going to guess.
Tyler Akee, what is the one athlete that you wanted to be?
Mine was, without a doubt, Derrick Rose. I would work tirelessly on the playground on that reverse layup that clearly got me nowhere. But I would work on it, and, I mean, just the way that he took over the Bulls franchise, which is what they're really lacking now.
No question.
Looking. Finds Rose. Rose trying to get open. Fires away. Bang! It's over! The Bulls win at the buzzer! It still is a madhouse on Madison as Derrick Rose nails the three. And the Bulls take a 2-1 lead in this Eastern Conference semifinal.
Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose, the last 10 games, was averaging anywhere around 25 points a game. He's still viable. That guy should be in the All-Star game. Now, that matters because he's coming home to Chicago and showing the Bulls, like, hey, how about that? Hey, I'm with the Pistons. How about that? Stick it up your backside. How about that? How about that? Throwback Thursday. Frank in Canaryville with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 as we do Throwback Thursday. Hey, Frank.
How's it going, Hoodie?
Good.
Well, my guy growing up in the 90s was White Chocolate, doing the bounce pass off the elbow in the driveway every day.
Let me tell you something. How special was Williams, right? Jason Williams.
I mean, he was the same height as me, so actually I thought I could be the next White Chocolate, and it didn't work out too well.
I like that. No, he was a hell of a player, man. He got away from, he's not one of the like the street players, like the N1 mixtape guys. He was actually on the floor doing great things that a lot of guards could not do. So, yeah, he was a special player. Sporty Spice checking in says that she wanted to be Flo-Jo. Had the nails and everything. Wanted to be a cross-country version of Flo-Jo. I can completely understand that on a Throwback Thursday.
The throwback.
And, of course, who wouldn't want to be Frank Thomas?
Sweep the Twins.
Hawk and DJ on the call.
And she'll like it too. New Jacks.
That's very good. Thank you very much. The odd porn commercial, seemingly, from that commercial from Big Frank. Very strange. Well, we thank you for listening and being part of the program here on ESPN 1000 and the TuneIn app. So don't forget, Chris Bleck and I will be having a great time at Bracket Room. If you're in the area around UIC University Village, come by between 7 and 9 tomorrow night, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. A Bulls watch party as the Bulls take on the Kings. Stop by and see us. If you got something going on Friday, start it with us Friday at 7 from University Village for Bracket Room. All right, talk to you soon right here on ESPN 1000.
He's Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.